Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. The sun is out today. Got all these things I'm grateful for. And I'm going to get away this weekend, but I'm not going to tell everybody where I'm going. So I actually get to go on a little mini vacation.
Well, remember our MLK episode where we talked about doing nothing? It was episode 201. And if people, first of all, if people have not, I recommend you go back and listen to it because it was kind of fun. But in it, I referenced that I needed a do nothing day. And I scheduled it this past weekend and had it with Brian. So we had lots of nothing days in the Bahamas this weekend, and
wow,
we also had lots of doing things. So I'm hoping wherever you're going this coming weekend, you're going to have some nothing time.
No, and that's the fact. Oh. It's actually no. Hey, there is no nothing about where we're going.
But
we have not been there in 3 or 4 years because of everything that's been going on. So we're going back and. There's a new opening of a location up there that we're very excited about. But so we're going to get to be there for that. To see that. So that's why our listeners are getting this
late on a
recording. Although I guess we're all recording now, but that's what.
But you know, let Scott and my decision to get away for the weekend remind you that if you haven't planned a vacation or a staycation for a day off in a while, let this be your reminder to get some self-care in. It's very super important for your mental health.
I want to also let everybody know, I was just notified today that those of you who are listening to us on an Apple platform, Apple Podcasts, they are now instituting, and we just entered into the agreements that will allow this to happen. You're now going to be able to have transcripts as you listen to the show.
Wow.
So it's a visual thing, not just an auditory thing anymore.
Wow. All right. Wow. So that hopefully you'll hear lots of our good wisdom and tips and tricks and be able to keep your shit together.
Oh, so I guess we should do the standard disclaimer now.
Oh.
The transcriptions are auto-generated. We don't look at them, edit them. God knows what AI is going to do with them.
That's a very good point. It's a very good point.
Anything you want to talk about before we jump into the Academy nominated thing we were going to talk about?
Oh, I know. Isn't it exciting? Well, maybe we should do one disclaimer since our Apple transcripts are coming out, which is, you know, you usually say this, Scott, that Scott's an attorney, but he's not your attorney. And I'm a therapist, but I'm not your therapist. We are here just sharing good tips and tricks for well-being, and it does not replace seeking good legal advice or seeking treatment with a psychotherapist or mental health professional.
Or just seeking good advice, period.
Or good advice, period. Exactly. We do the best we can, people. It's lived experience. What can I say?
All right. Well, with that, you want to just jump into this?
Absolutely. So
I'm gonna follow your lead. I have not seen what we're talking about. I certainly have followed the Academy Awards and the nominations that have been made. So go for it.
Well, so in light of the Barbie movie being nominated for an Academy Award, this episode will have a lot of, what do they call them? Spoiler alerts.
I want to say one thing, and I'm going to just jump in. I'm going to lay it out there right now.
Lay it out.
I find it ironic.
Okay.
The Barbie movie has not just been nominated for one award. It's been nominated for 8 Academy Awards.
Thank you. Thank you.
With what? 2 exceptions.
Which are?
Well, it's been nominated for Best Picture. And,
yes.
And Ryan Gosling got a nomination.
Oh, for Best Supporting Actor?
Margot Robbie and the director, Greta Gerwig, got no nominations. So here's a movie.
What the hell?
So that there's a little tiny uproar in Hollywood right now.
I bet.
So I found it ironic.
Yes.
That here we are talking about the Barbie movie, and Barbie didn't get herself the nomination.
Yes, very ironic. You know, I would love to call this episode "Barbie Fights Back," but hopefully Barbie will fight back, or at least Barbie's director will fight back and Barbie's lead character will fight back. So anyway, this is a good time to pause and go see the movie if you plan to see it, and then come back to this episode, because I will be spoiling the plots and several things that happen as we talk about the Barbie movie versus real life. Okay. So this is your chance to pause. And you're still here, so we're going to go. All right. So, Scott, forgive me. I'm going to outline this so that it makes some contextual sense to you and our listeners, in case those haven't seen it, but, you know, aren't going to. In the movie, we start off in what's called Barbie World. And in Barbie World, unlike in real life, it is full of powerful, free, happy women. Okay. In Barbie World, there's a belief, there's a whole scene where they believe that logic and emotion can coexist without diminishing either, and that by coexisting, it actually expands both logic and emotion rather than diminishes it. Versus real life, I don't know about you, Scott, in the business world, in the courtroom, how are emotions seen in the real world?
Well, that kind of depends. I can tell you being very transparent, I, not routinely, but often, was chastised by judges for showing my emotion in the courtroom.
What? See? Even men are not allowed to show emotion in the real world. And often our emotions are unwelcomed. They can be seen as unprofessional at school, at home, at work, and they're seen as illogical. I've heard bosses describe emotions as distracting. I've heard people describe emotions as weakness. And that's really sad, because guess what? Humans have emotions. It's part of, if you don't have any emotions, you are not human. You are a robot. And guess what? Even in Star Trek and Star Wars, all the robots want to have emotions. So get over it, people. Emotions are good. Okay, so that's one difference. Okay, so then in Barbie World, as we're starting off, every night is girls' night. And Ken is defined as whether or not Barbie notices him. Okay, so that's where his power is defined by. Does Barbie notice me or not? And it's a whole thing in the movie. But in the real world, it's kind of the opposite. A lot of women that I work with feel very defined by whether or not they're married. They are seen as an old spinster versus an eligible bachelor if they're not married. They're defined by whether or not they're in a relationship. Particularly for heterosexuals, it's in a relationship with a man. And girls' night is often reserved for times when men are away, not something that women do regardless of a man's availability. Women have often shared with me that they either feel defined or at minimum sidelined if they're not noticed by the men that they work with, or they're not promoted by men in the office. So it's a very different world, real life, than Barbie World. Would you say that you've noticed some of this in the real world?
Oh, I've noticed. I can tell you in the business world in general, and in the legal profession in particular, there's a lot of sexism that goes on.
Yeah.
I've experienced it. And interestingly enough, during one deposition, an elderly male attorney was talking very down to a younger female attorney, and I stepped in because I was one of the more experienced attorneys in the room, and I did what I thought needed to be done, whereupon later privately I was told I should not have done that, and I should have allowed the female attorney to stand up for herself.
There is a double-edged
sword. I have, by the way, I still believe chivalry is not dead. I still open doors for everybody, but I open doors in particular for my wife. We go out, I open the car door for her. Mm-hmm. I have had some people criticize me, mm-hmm. tell me they can open their own door. I don't need to open it for them. there's certainly the other side of this, but
sure.
I've observed sexism. It in law enforcement. I've observed it in fire personnel. I've observed it in other organizations. And again, certainly in law, even to the extent where at times there have been judges and or lawyers that my team have taken a step back and say, I think this person just hates women.
Wow. And I have also run into people that feel like they likewise hate men, you know, so it's not a one-sided thing.
Right.
It's just that because historically, generation after generation, we have more males in power, despite females being 50% of the population. It's painful. It's hard being a woman. I'm not going to lie to you.
The good news is, as I was transitioning out of the law, things have now changed, but there was certainly the good old boys club for a long time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I think there still is a good old boys club in a lot of different professions. So point number three, in the Barbie movie, the general typical Barbie, she calls herself, that's the main character, she malfunctions, and they define malfunctioning by more than a bad hair day. It actually includes bad morning breath, burning breakfast, milk expiring, existential thoughts of death, getting cellulite, and the typical Barbie's pointed toes that go in the high heels becoming flat feet. The last of which, the flat feet, when Barbie actually shows people she has flat feet, has all the Barbies and all the Kens gagging repetitively at how gross her feet are flat. So now in the real world, women are often, let's say, women are often defined or sidelined by certain beauty standards. Too beautiful, not beautiful enough, right? And in the Barbie movie, to fix herself, Barbie finds out she has to go to the real world. Okay. She has to cross through Barbie land and into the real world in none other than Los Angeles, California, to fix her malfunctions.
Of course.
Stating that.
Don't we all?
The symbolism of LA being the place that you fix yourself does not escape me. It's pretty funny having lived there from age 10 to 48, it's so laughable that that we have to go to LA to get fixed when there is so much built in already sexism and unrealism in Los Angeles. So anyway, as soon as Barbie arrives to the real world, which is like in the movie, it looks like Santa Monica, Venice Beach, Muscle Beach area. She's on roller skates with Ken. She's on the beach for the first time ever. And she's this beautiful, perfect, typical Barbie, right? But she says, I strangely feel self-conscious and there's an undertone of violence. And Ken, for the first time ever, goes, oh, I feel admired, powerful, and totally safe. Which is classic, because I think I've shared this before, that a lot of women I work with, they step outside the door and about one in every three to one in every four women have been raped or will be a survivor of rape in their time. It is something that women have to be conscious of on a regular basis. And most of the men I work with, although men can sometimes be raped too, it's not that they are excluded from violence and domination and control by another typically a man, not always, but typically. It's so much less often that most men don't walk outside their door worrying about it. It's not a worry. So anyway, because she's feeling unsafe, Barbie says, oh, there's a construction site. Let's head over there for some hopes of good female energy, inspiration, and support, because that's what she
would
get.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, that's what she would get in Barbie world at a construction site, because they're all female, right? But she gets over there and she goes, oh my God, it's so male. And she starts sharing that she has this fear with no specific subject or object. She just has an underlining fear. And as she's expressing this to Ken, along comes a man behind her, smacks her on the butt, and she instinctually turns around and slaps him, which lands her in the slammer for assault.
Nope. No pun intended.
The man that slaps her on the butt gets away. She gets thrown in jail. So at the same time, Ken, for the first time, he's immediately picking up on this male macho power. He's watching a sort of a series of athletes pumping iron and businessmen being dismissive of their female support staff, presidents, faces on the money. And he starts to feel more and more powerful, thinking, oh my gosh, men rule the world. And he realizes that Mattel, you know, the manufacturer of Barbie, actually is entirely run by men, determining what girls need, like sparkle.
Is that true, by the way?
Mattel is run by men. And they have had one female CEO for a short period of time. I did my research on this, but I lost it. They've had one female CEO at one point. I believe the current CEO of Mattel is still a man. And so there's all this interplay in the movie about Mattel being run by men.
Yeah, I actually just looked it up. 11 people on the board of directors, 6 are men, 5 are women.
Yeah. In the movie, they're all men, which is fine. You know, not everything's accurate in the movie, obviously, but it does prove a point, right? I think we celebrated earlier in 2023, we celebrated that women CEOs of Fortune 500 companies finally went above 10%. So 50% of the population, but 10% in.
And in all fairness to Mattel, I just looked this up, from 1997 to 2000, Mattel did have a female CEO.
Yes, yes. Those were the years. Exactly. So Barbie in the movie, she starts to scan the earth and she notices this interesting mix of love and sadness and nature. And she decides that this is so different from this polished plasticky Barbie world, that there's something special about the real world, which I agree with her. Like, I think that is what makes real life so special, is that our sadness can juxtapose our love and our joy and have us feel a lot of gratitude for that peace, that love, that joy. And the beautiful nature that we get exposed to in the world is, I mean, I just came from the Bahamas, some of the most beautiful water I've ever seen in my life. I swam with turtles. There's a beach where you can swim with the pigs and feed them. I know it's really odd. It's there's a lot of beauty in the world when you can get out there and see it, especially outside of a big concrete city. You know, all we have to do is go to Scott's Grove. Gentleman's Grove. So
I'm still stuck on swimming with the pigs, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to tell you about that. So in the movie, Barbie heads to middle school to try to find her real life owner, because that's what she was told she needs to do to try to get this thing about her fixed. And she's expecting to be loved. But then she runs into Sasha, who's the tween daughter in the movie that supposedly is owned by Barbie the doll, or Barbie the doll owns her. So this tween Sasha, who basically gets in Barbie's face and tells her, "You've been making women feel bad about themselves since you were invented. You represent everything wrong with culture, specialized capitalism, unrealistic physical ideals, and she ends by calling Barbie a fascist. And to be truthful, as a woman growing up playing with Barbie, many of us felt that way, that we would never be the picture perfect ideal of what Barbie looked like. And yet, why are we encouraged by our parents to play house with Barbies, or to put babies in strollers, or get our easy baked ovens instead of our building things with our Legos or our writing or using our imagination? There's a lot of targeted female toys that have women practicing from a really young age to be a mom, that this is what we are supposed to aspire to. And I take nothing away from moms and people who do aspire to be a mom. I just take away the division of, like, I have some male clients who like want to be a stay-at-home dad and then feel shamed by their peers because they're the stay-at-home dad, or because they feel this way. You know, why are our skill sets based off of our genitalia instead of what we're actually skilled at? I just have those kinds of
questions. I've never had it put that way before, but okay.
I mean, if you think about it, like, I don't think my genitalia should determine whether or not I'm a therapist. I think the fact that I'm compassionate and I'm intelligent and I care about people, that's just my skill set.
Yeah.
But I've met a lot of really great male therapists. You know, my partner is a male nurse, and he always gets called a male nurse instead of just a nurse. Like, female nurses don't get called female nurse. Oh, where's my female nurse? But male nurses get called male nurse. So anyway, as we're moving through this movie, Barbie starts to confront these male dominated executives of Mattel, who proudly say that they had a CEO in the 90s. Oh, here's where my notes were. It was Jill Barrett. She was the CEO, 97 yeah. to 2000. But in 2023, it was the first time in history that more than 10% of Fortune 500 companies had a female CEO. So it's mirrored among Hollywood in their hiring. We see it everywhere. So moving through it, the movie goes on that Ken sneaks the patriarchy back to Barbie land while Barbie's out trying to fix herself. And he turns the government to the government for Kens, of the Kens, and by the Kens. And Barbies start liking being more of their decorations and their arm candy than making any decisions. And all of this is going on while Barbie is trying to get back there and heal herself. So when she discovers that Barbie Land has fallen, she begins to have an existential crisis. And the real mom of the Sasha teen that I mentioned earlier is played by American Ferrera. And she ends up trying to inspire Barbie to break out of her existential crisis and turn things around. And there is, I'm kind of going to give you a little bit of this speech, and we'll get close to looping things and tying things up here. But America Ferrera has a speech in this film that really speaks to a lot of women's hearts. And I'll not say the whole thing, but try to do it some justice. She, out of frustration, lashes out and says, "It is literally impossible to be a woman." She tells Barbie, "You are so beautiful, so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we always have to be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say that you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but you also actually have to be thin. And then you have to have money, but you can't really ask for money because that's crass. You have to be the boss, but you can't really be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane. But if you point it out that men have bad behavior, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women, because you're supposed to be a part of the sisterhood. And any power that you have has to be masked under a giggle. You have to find a way to reject men's advances without damning their egos, because if you say yes, you're a tramp, but if you say no, you're a prude. And it goes on. So in the story itself, the Barbies end up trying to break the brainwashings that the Kens have had and help the Kens come back to themselves, help the Barbies in Barbie lands come back to themselves by creating massive doses of cognitive dissonances and helping the women have a reality check on what feminism is. And once Barbie land gets balanced again, Barbie ends up wanting to be a part of the beings who actually create meaning, not the thing that is created. So she ends up going back, becoming a real girl like Pinocchio and working in Mattel to create things as opposed to being creative or being created. It's really kind of a powerful movie.
So I take it that you liked the movie, number one.
Of course I did.
And do you think, and again, I have not seen the movie, but do you think that the movie is now going to lead, in particular because of the lack of two nominations for the Academy Awards, but do you think that this is going to lead to bigger discussions, not only about the film, but that of what we as a society actually have as far as expectations on men and women?
Yeah, I can only hope so. You know, after Gina Davis was in, what was the movie? You know, why are words escaping me on the middle of a podcast? Gina Davis had that movie. Oh, Thelma and Louise.
Oh, they went over the cliff. That one. Yeah.
Yeah. So she thought that everything was going to change in Hollywood. Now, all of a sudden, women were going to have good roles. We were going to have these, you know, views of women from their perspective instead of views of women from men's perspective. And because Hollywood didn't change, she created her nonprofit association and started doing some research showing how when stories are told from a variety of perspectives, not just women, but people of color, trans people, people in the LGBT community, when people are told, stories are told from different perspectives, it helps people feel seen and feel like they matter. And so it's not just about female-male stuff. It's really about recognizing the contributions to our society from everyone, that each person has value. And I can only hope that this changes everything. But since Thelma and Louise didn't change everything, I'm still a little skeptical.
So I'm going to put you on. Slow. I'm going to put you on the spot. I want you to pretend that real life Barbie,
okay,
shows up for a therapy session with you.
Oh my God. Yes.
And she comes in, right? Mm-hmm. And you've talked about the ordinary Barbie.
Yeah.
And this whole identity crisis that real life Barbie has.
Yeah.
What words of advice would you give to your patient?
Because she's had an identity crisis.
She's having an identity crisis. She doesn't have balance. She doesn't actually understand the our world feminist roles or themes.
Yeah.
Ken's gone crazy and the company itself is trying to adhere to more sales, right?
Right. Right.
You've got 5 minutes. What do you say to her?
So I think I would use some somatic techniques and try to help her identify the core of herself. So I would ask her to close her eyes to take some deep breaths, to identify the internal part of herself that feels real to her, feels genuine to her, feels like that little small voice inside that guides us. You know what I mean? And I would ask her to have a conversation with that part of her. What does that part of her want her to do moving forward? What is true and genuine for her? Does she stay at this company? Does she try to change it from the inside? Does she try to create her own new company? Does she do something entirely different and have a career shift? What is aligned with who she is and who she wants to be and what she wants to create in the world? I can't decide that for someone else. So I'm not going to give them, like, I think you need to do this. But if I can get them in touch with what matters, how they want to leave their mark or their legacy or make their difference in the world, and just, you know, allow just one additional human in the world to have a better experience, that's what I'm going to work on with her.
And I like all that. The reason I was asking is because I heard a couple things that rang an alarm bell for me.
Oh,
right. The concept that Barbie was broken and that Barbie's healing herself.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, was she ever broken?
Right.
And what is she healing into? So that's why I was asking the question for you.
Yeah. In the movie, I think they were healing into that it's okay to be imperfect. Right. And one of the beautiful parts that they do for Ken is that in the film, they allow Ken not to be defined by Barbie, but that he gets to be his own human too. He doesn't have to lord over her in order to have meaning for himself. He can just be himself, right? And be valued for who he is. So in the movie itself, they sort of wrap it up with this idea that that we're all imperfect. We all have emotions. We all have intelligence. We all have skills to bring, and that we really aren't broken. We're very unique in and of ourselves, and to honor that and it's to let that guide
wonderful.
You.
So go out and see the Barbie movie. You guys can decide whether the director and Margot Robbie should have gotten Emmy nominations, or I guess Academy Award nominations. I will say this. I want to leave before we talk about next week's show. I want to leave everybody with just this fun little fact that I looked up while you were talking.
Oh, good.
And that is that the origin of high heels.
Yes.
Actually started in the early 17th century in Europe. And they were worn, pardon me, the 10th century. And they were only worn by men.
Oh, I believe it.
Because they were designed to keep your foot in the stirrup of the horse.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It wasn't until later. And by the way, wearing high heels, according to this article I'm looking at, they were signs of masculinity and high social status.
Mm-hmm.
It was only after that, towards the end of the century, that the trend then spread to the women's fashion industry.
Yes.
It actually started off with men wearing high heels,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, if you ever watch any of these period pieces, you'll notice, particularly in France, the men are constantly wearing high heels.
Yes, they are.
As a sign of status.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yes. With that, next week, we're going to talk about the role of pets in stress relief. And I got to tell you, just as a little teaser, I went to Disneyland. I went to Disneyland recently. I can't even begin to tell you how many, I'm going to call them emotional support animals, I saw at Disneyland, including this little tiny, I call them poochies because I have one, right? Part poodle, part chihuahua. They're these little tiny fluff white snowballs. There was no vest on. But I'm presuming they got this thing in as an emotional support animal, and it's just kind of tootling around Disneyland.
Oh, man.
So we're going to talk about the role of pets in stress relief.
I love it.
Until then, thank you all for listening. In particular, thank those of you, again, on the Apple platform. I've noticed we've gained a number of followers there.
Yay.
So thank you for that. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe on your favorite platform. And until next week, go see the Barbie movie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.